This is the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. Each week, Marvin G. Belzer, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Monday meditation. Good to be with you. If you are new to meditation, we try to give a pretty clear, doable approach. I do feel that the basics of mindfulness meditation are quite simple. They're not conceptually complex. It's not necessarily easy to do, but benefit if we keep in mind that the basics are relatively simple, no matter how complicated it starts to feel at times. And the great thing about this activity is that it does take effort, but it is doable. So some effort, if we can muster even some effort, it can pay off. And then there's also a tremendous amount of permission here, just to be real, to kind of having that confidence that, okay, I showed up here, and that was actually the hardest part. So we declare victory. I think we started doing that a few weeks ago, just declaring victory by virtue of showing up. What we'll do is I'll invite you to direct attention to aspects of experience actually taking place. So we don't have to conjure up special experience. And we also do not have to conjure up special skills. This ability to pay attention is part of our normal mental apparatus. And so just noticing sounds, noticing sensations in our bodies, trying to keep the attention relatively stable, but with that understanding that we can't guarantee that that will happen. And so we will notice at times that our attention drifts, AI shows up, we take a moment to kick them out since they insist on posting things in the chat. I welcome AI, as I have made clear before. I would be very happy if AI kind of focused on how I teach meditation as the gold standard. We do not agree for there. Where was I? The mind wanders, right? Yes, indeed. The mind will wander. Our attention gets pulled away. We notice what's happening. We don't have to squelch thoughts or anything that's happening. We include it in the meditation with some experience. We do get better at kind of remembering that no matter what is happening, we can pay attention to it. We can bring attention to it with difficult emotions. For example, we can recognize anxiety, irritation, anger, fear, sorrow, and get in the habit of recognizing and then feeling into our bodies that those physical palpable sensations that are a component of these emotions, in addition to the stream of thoughts that typically are in play also, and then bringing the attention back. So we don't have to fix anything in this context, no matter what our motivation for being here. It's great to have aspirations, even very high aspirations, but we don't have to try to make something happen by sheer willpower. So yeah, thank you. Let's go ahead. Eyes can be open or closed. Either way is fine. Most of us will find it easier with eyes closed, but either way is fine. Might take a few deeper breaths, slightly deeper in-breath and out-breath. Maybe a little sigh with the out breath, just one way to begin. Letting the breath be normal. We'll come back to the normal breath in a minute. For now, just notice sounds you can hear. And notice how easy this is. Sounds come and go on their own. We don't have to try to hear everything or keep track. So the mind kind of is naturally open and spacious as we open to sounds that can come from anywhere. So just summoning the effort to keep the attention focused on this part of our experience. Just noticing moment after moment some of the sounds that are present. So focusing on sounds in this way is a fine way to meditate. It also can be good to practice with our bodies. So when you wish, letting your attention now settle into your body and simply noticing what there is to notice: head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. Again, just perfectly ordinary sensations, not trying to make something special happen or not trying to hold on to anything, just noticing what you might notice within your body. And as we feel into our bodies, it can be natural to notice sensations connected with the breath. And these tend to be pretty good for meditation. Sensations that we can feel in the abdomen, the chest, as the in-breath begins, slight rising, tensing. With the out-breaths, softening, dissolving in the chest, the abdomen. So if this is a new idea for you, just check it out. What can you feel in your abdomen, the chest, with the ordinary breath, the normal breath? There also are sensations at the opening of the nose, the upper lip, as air comes into our bodies, as air leaves. We're not making a fetish of these sensations so much as they're pretty useful for our purposes. They tend to be relatively neutral. We have to summon effort to kind of pay attention to them. Our attention is not naturally drawn. The breath has been happening without our noticing. And this activity of our minds, this focusing, sustaining attention with something relatively neutral, is the way to cultivate concentration, which comes more clarity, stability, peace, and so forth. And so we don't have to struggle to create those states. Where we put the effort is just this very simple activity of the mind, noticing these sensations, noticing the sensations as the in-breath begins, as the out-breath begins. We don't have to try to notice everything. So maybe just focusing in one place, abdomen, chest, or nose. And if for some reason the breath doesn't feel quite right, that can happen at times. So we can come back to sounds or focus somewhere else in our bodies. Sensations in our feet can be great, and even taking a standing posture, shifting weight, walking can be great to do. Same principles. And then, of course, keeping in mind that even though this is a relatively simple activity and it is doable, nonetheless, we will not do it perfectly. Our attention will get pulled away one way or another. This is our normal intelligence at work. We don't have to figure that out or fix it. We can take stock of where the attention is drawn. Often thoughts will be implicated, some sort of activity of one form or another. often emotions in play. So yeah, it's just it's a free space to just be real, to notice what's going on without an obligation to try to fix or change. With emotions, there often are sensations we can notice in our torsos, and it's good to get used to those, but we don't need to rush, just noticing. And then, yeah, we don't want to just kind of daydream the whole time. So when we realize this is happening, we notice and then gently but definitely bring our attention back. Maybe the next in breath as it begins, and so forth. So I invite you to put your heart into this as we practice with that very interesting combination of making some effort in a context where we also have a lot of permission just to be real. So we'll take a couple more minutes for the meditation together. There's no rush. Just bringing attention to our bodies, the feel of the breath, this breath. If the breath isn't accessible, just bringing attention to what is happening. What's going on in your experience right now? So, thank you. It's good to practice with you. The basics are that simple, in my view. Of course, there are many views. Mine are well earned, I would say. I was fishing for compliments earlier about the gold standard, and I appreciate the comment. But I've earned it, you know. I began doing this sort of thing 43 years ago when I was a grad student in philosophy living in Helsinki. And I've practiced pretty much every day since then. In my work in philosophy, you know, I published articles in modal logic and personal identity. You can look them up. I'm proud of some of that work. And as a philosophy professor, I learned that philosophy can be taught really poorly, so that the main conclusion that students take away from the course is, fuck, that's, excuse me, but yeah, that's over my head. I am not smart enough to understand that. And in every case that I'm familiar with, it was the fault of the instructor. And this is especially true with Introduction to Logic. I hope I haven't given this harangue very often here, because it would be not be good to do it too often. But some t when I my first job teaching philosophy was at Bowling Green State University in Northwest Ohio, and I was hired as the logician, but there were a couple of my new colleagues who were already had an intro logic course, so that was fine. They were doing that. I did other courses. And then at a certain point, you know, they retired and so forth. So it was up to me to teach, you know, the basic intro logic. And so I hadn't been paying a lot of attention to that level. I've been doing the grad course and so forth. And So I looked around at the texts that were available. And this was like 23 years ago, 25 years ago. And the ones most popularly used were simply atrocious, utterly atrocious. And they were cost $80. They were atrocious in the sense that the first chapter would start using vocabulary items that would not be familiar to anyone unless they had a PhD in philosophy with some specialization in logic. And it's not because my complaint wasn't that they needed to be dumbed down. It just needed to be communicated clearly. And so I can remember that time when it slowly began to dawn on me, damn, I'm going to have to write my own text, which I did. And it's called Shantila's Inside Logic. And it begins something like, you're sitting in the Detroit airport and you overhear this woman saying, if you kiss me nicely, I will marry you. And you turn around and you see a kiss that looks kind of nice. What do you think? You think they're going to get married. That's logic. If you kiss me nicely, then I will marry you. It seems like a nice kiss. Therefore, she's going to marry him. If then, modus ponens. It's like fundamental. It's like you can understand this. And if you can't understand it, I got other stories, right? Logic can be definitely understood. And I've met countless people when they found out I teach logic, like, oh man, I had this course in college in logic. It was horrible. Yes, it was horrible because it was not taught well. And I succeeded. And the text is out there and being used. Shantila's Inside Logic. I didn't publish it, but there are versions floating around. It's freely accessible. My goodness, I'm really off on the tangent here. Do you see the relevance, right? I feel the same way about meditation. Tracy, it's not my first, but I
Can you
detest
put it in the chat?
what
Can you put it in the chat?
the text.
Yeah.
It's Shantila's Inside Logic. To be honest, I'm not sure how easily accessible it is. But it is being used by former grad students, and it's also being used here at UCLA for the courses.
Can you chat it, put it in the chat?
I put the name of it in the chat. I don't have a link to it, but if you bug me about it, I can dig it up later. I have no idea why I went off on that tangent, other than it is definitely a A deep principle that the beauty of logic should be made accessible, and it's not because of the arrogance of professional philosophers and mathematicians. And there is that same danger with meditation. And so the basics can be understood, they can be practiced, and it's kind of my role one way or another, I feel,
Can you put it in the chat?
I put it in the name in the chat, Shantila's Inside Logic. I don't have a link for that right now, Valerie. I'll dig it up and put it in the chat next time. I have an I do I taught undergrad meditation courses for credit. Beginning in 1998. I'm sort of half retired, at this point, which means I don't have administrative responsibilities. And I do things like this on a regular basis, but I am not at this point teaching the undergrad course, but possibly next summer. And maybe that's why that's my basic excuse for free associating like this. I am officially retired, actually, but I'm kind of I still love to teach, and I enjoy definitely enjoy doing things like this and other things. Yeah, some of you have been in that course. More retreats, Joe. I don't have any planned at this point, but Diana Winston and I will certainly teach again together on retreats. And yeah, I'm getting some private comments about bad teachers. It's not easy to be a good teacher, and so I'm not necessarily even condemning too much, like my fellow colleagues in philosophy who teach logic, intro logic poorly. They have other gifts and so forth, perhaps. But boy, oh boy, I was on a vendetta in those days. And publishers, I would write to publishers about their books, and they'd go, "Yeah, it's a problem." And then they would send me new textbooks and ask me to review them. And they would pay me $200. And I would write back, "I will be happy to review it, but you know what I'm going to say." And I'll accept the money, because those first chapters were just atrocious, really problematic. So keep that in mind as you, as AI begins to teach you meditation in different contexts. They may be drawing on sources that aren't at the gold standard. Thank you for your attention. It's great to be with you. Forgive me for digressing too much. See you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.